That's how it needs to be. Let's keep it going. And hopefully when you leave, when you're driving home, worship God tomorrow, whatever, all week long, you want to stay spiritually connected to God. Amen? Amen. We have a starting a new series today, and my prayer is that God would open your eyes up to something very fresh for you as an individual and challenge you. And we want to say hello to everybody watching online and all the people watching in North County. Let's give them a hand as they're watching out there. And let's also give a hand and shout out to all the people in the military watching around the world. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. God bless you. Very good. Let's get started. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. And let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Lesson plan. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah, minor prophet. It's only four chapters. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your faithfulness and for worship. And I pray you bless these next 6 weeks that we're together leading up to Easter. And I pray for the people who are going to be coming on Easter as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah chapter 1. Say amen if you have not found it yet. Wow, wow. Well, we'll just wait, okay? If you have the Bible, I have it. It's on page 637. So, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I want to say hello to everybody watching from PAO. I was just at a conference in Florida. It took me 16 hours to get home from Orlando. Can you believe that? Yes, 16 hours. I was a mad black person. I literally stood in the airport and I videotaped it and watched. My plane was sitting right there to come from Atlanta to San Diego, and it was sitting there. And I'm standing inside. I said, "Can I get on the plane? Can I get on the plane?" They said, "Nope," and it just backed up and left. So we had to go to, I think I flew to Japan and then over to Philippines and back to LA and then up to Detroit and then came back to San Diego. So it was horrible. It's horrible. Anyway, everybody got Jonah? Very good. In 1985, I went to a conference called PAO, which was the conference I just left, Pro Athletes Outreach. It was the first one I attended, my wife and I. And they had main speakers, and then they had workshops. And one of the workshops was on evangelism. And at the time, I was a young Christian. I loved evangelism. I loved sharing my faith, loved seeing people get saved. So I figured I'm going to go to this workshop. Had no idea what it would be about. And I was the only one to show up at the workshop. I felt sorry for the speaker because it was just one guy. I've done workshops. You don't know who's going to come. So I was the one guy, and we sat there and talked. And I remember walking out of that workshop realizing that I was an evangelist. And I was walking down the hall in the hotel, and I was like, "I'm an evangelist. I'm an evangelist." And it was like I finally had purpose and focus. Tomorrow is our 12-year anniversary that we started this church. Are you ready? Amen. Let's give a hand. And when we started the church, we wanted to evangelize San Diego. At the time, you know, technology was not what it was, and multi-site campuses didn't exist. At least I didn't know about it. And here we are 12 years later, and God has given us a clearer, more focused vision on what we want to accomplish. And so for the next 6 weeks, we want to not only share that with you, but we want to share with you how you would be involved. Okay, so let's read Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. If you know this story, it's about a guy who was called to go love a city, and he ran. Okay, Jonah chapter 1. It says, "The word of the Lord." Everyone say the word of the Lord. A prophet is a person who simply hears God say something and then says what God told him to say. Now, whether you call yourself a prophet or not, God is going to speak to you and will always speak to you and will tell you what to say and what to do. And when God tells you to do something, when God tells you to say something, your job is simply to just say it and do it. Okay? So Jonah the prophet says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me.' And so what happens is he's going to tell them to go to a city, and he's going to say, go cry against the city because their wickedness is coming to me in heaven. So I want you to go to preach to them. Okay, verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, the opposite direction. In other words, Jonah, go to Tijuana, and then Jonah says, I'm going to L.A. Okay, is L.A., you don't get to Tijuana by going to L.A. unless you're going to go all the way around the world and come back that way in the back door. Okay, it says, Jonah arose to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. By the way, you can't run from the presence of God. And he went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, whenever you read a story in the Bible or a Bible narrative, you want to understand the components of a narrative. The components of a narrative is that in every Bible narrative, which is every individual story and the story of the Bible as a whole, there are certain characters. One character is God's friend. Somebody in the story is supposed to be promoting God's agenda. And then there's another character who is God's enemy, somebody who is opposing God's agenda. Now, sometimes what the person or thing that opposes God's agenda can be a demon. It could be an attitude. Okay, so what you want to do is you read a story. You want to say, who is God's friend or supposed to be God's friend? Who is God's enemy who's opposing God's agenda, and how is there a conflict between the two? And then how does God save or deliver, resolve the conflict? Now, in this story, supposedly, Nineveh is God's enemy. Their wickedness is coming to God. And supposedly, Jonah is God's friend. The reason I say supposedly is because whenever you read these stories, these are real people who are not necessarily doing what they're supposed to do. But the Bible's going to tell you what they did do, and you're going to see God work in them. And so what happens is Jonah is going to be called by God. He's a prophet. He's supposed to be on God's side. He's going to be called by God to go preach to the city Nineveh, who supposedly is God's enemy. Their wickedness is coming for God, and Nineveh is very wicked. Matter of fact, Nineveh was a very large city, about 60 miles around, and in those days, a city was protected by a wall. And this wall was 100 to 150 feet high, three times the height of this building. It was 45 feet wide, about the height of this building is 45 feet. And it went all the way around the city, about a couple million people, had 1,500 towers. And then again, you had bows and arrows and rocks, so they didn't have guns or anything. So the wall was one of their major protections. And so you have this big city with all these people, okay, 60 miles around, three-day journey, to a couple million people. Jonah is by himself. Is supposed to go preach against this city, a city of great wickedness, a city that was Israel's, he was Jewish, Israel's enemy. And he's supposed to go preach it. Now, as we look at this story, you have to say, how do I fit in the story? And so what you want to identify with someone in the story, we're going to identify with Jonah, kinda. Because God is calling Jonah to do something, but he's going to take a long while to do it. And God is going to intervene in his life. And so God's heart is not to judge the city. God's heart is to love the city. Everyone say, love the city. And so when God looks at Nineveh, he's like, there is great wickedness. But my goal is not to judge them. I want to save them. Now, when we moved into this building, we bought this building. We had to raise a lot of money. And this building was represented an opportunity for us to expand. And we had a campaign. We raised as much as we can. I think we raised $14 million to get into this building. Here we are 12 years after we started, even though that wasn't 12 years ago, 12 years after I started, we have another opportunity to grow and expand our reach. And therefore, we're going to have another campaign that we want to share with you today over the next 6 weeks. And everything I'm going to share with you on the screen here in a minute, you're going to get a brochure when you leave. But I want you to, I want you to think this. We've been 12 years in the making to this point, and we have 13, 14,000 people or so that come on a weekly basis, and then there's a bunch more that around the world you're going to see in a minute who are listening, watching right now, and there's a bunch of live and watch on TV, and there's a bunch who don't come every week. And what we want to do is now expand our reach around San Diego and around the world. And so through this story of Jonah over the next 6 weeks, we're going to see how God called him and how God used him, and also, more importantly, how God nudged him against his will. Because for us to do what we have to do, we're all going to have to deny ourselves and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because there are some of you out there that God wants you to go to one of these churches we want to start around the county, start a ministry or whatever, give financially, which we're going to talk about as well. And we want your heart to be ready to do whatever God says. Say it's all about God. It is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about anybody's idea. It's about God. We have to keep that focus. And when God called Jonah to love his city, he knew, Jonah knew that God was going to bless the city, and Jonah didn't want the city to be blessed. The reason he ran was not because he was scared that he was going to get killed. The reason he ran was not because there were evil people. He ran because he knew God was going to love the city. We have to have a heart to love our city. Amen? And so my prayer is that I'm going to show you these slides and what we're trying to accomplish. Okay? First thing is that we want to establish pervasive hope in San Diego and all the cities that we're involved in. I'm going to read that out loud. Pervasive hope means that for every way someone can be lost, we will provide a practical way for them to be found in the very place they have ended up. I want you to think about what we're already doing. We have 114 ministries around San Diego. We want to spread that all over San Diego County. In San Diego County, there are 18 cities, Carlsbad, Del Mar, Encinitas, blah, 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 Escondido. And we want to spread hope on all these cities and the cities of all the people watching. All the people watching all over the world, we want to empower them to also reach their cities. Then here are some of the stats of the cry of what's happening in San Diego County. San Diego County last year, there were 38 murders, 293 rapes, 484 armed robberies, 400 suicides. By the way, 400 suicides is more than one a day. There are people right now in San Diego. There may be some of y'all right now that God that you're saying, I want to kill myself. We want to tell you God loves you. Say God loves you. God loves you. We want to tell you, please, give Jesus a chance. There are people watching online right now. This is your last opportunity before you kill yourself right now as you're watching. If God doesn't speak to me, I'm going to kill myself. We want to tell you God loves you. Amen. God loves you. Amen? I was at a conference in Baton Rouge 3 days ago, and I heard a story, a lady who travels the world fighting human trafficking, a story about these for all the millions of people who are in slavery right now. And one girl was being violated sexually 100 times a day. 100 times a day. There are people hurting. There are people hurting right here in the city. By the way, that is going on in here in San Diego, right? They come right over the border. And so we want to make sure we're really clear about why we exist. Is to bring hope in every street, in every person, in our county first, and then also around the world. Okay? Amen? Hopefully that is our focus. And one of the great things about, well, worship is relevant to everything because connecting with God is the foundation of everything we do. But one of the great things about worshiping God is that we can be very clear on how God wants to use you to do that. Okay? How God wants to use you. Here's some more stats for you. There's 9,000 homeless people, 12.3% in poverty, 450 kids in foster care, 480,000 people in San Diego County. 500,000 face hunger. What does that mean? That they are unsure if they are going to eat 3 meals a day. Now, I want you to think about the food you have in your house. I want you to think about the food you throw out. When I was a kid, we had to sit at our dinner table and eat every piece of food. How many of y'all parents made you do that? And you would sit there for hours, and we would have food in our mouth and our cheeks like that. Because we didn't want to swallow the peas and stuff. And my father said, don't get up to eat all the food. And there literally are people in San Diego that you drive past that can't eat. That the city feeds them. sometimes we, and so you say, what does that got to do with me? That's exactly what Jonah was thinking. What does that got to do with me, God? I ain't going over there. I don't want you to help them people. Well, of course, that's not our heart. We don't want to be like Jonah, but we are being called. Next slide. Here's how we're going to do it. We have four major initiatives. Rock multiple campuses. As you know, we have a campus here. We have one in North County. And in 5 years, we want to start five more, which is going to give us a total of seven campuses. We don't know where they're going to be. And here's the thing. Why we start a campus? If we start a campus in East County, if we start a campus in City Heights, if we start a campus in Chula Vista, South Bay, Escondido, whatever, those churches now will reach and multiply and duplicate what we're doing here. Those churches will reach those communities. Now, here's your challenge. Some of you live in those areas, and you don't like driving. I got to go all the way up Point Loma. Well, listen, not only are we going to start someplace, we're not starting it so you don't have to drive. We're starting it so there can be a ministry up there to reach that community. And some of you are going to be challenged to go to that church. We're going to have to hire a campus pastor. We're going to have to hire a whole staff. And this is what Jonah was being challenged. Jonah, you have to go outside of yourself and go help these people that you don't even know. And so we have people all over San Diego that have all these needs, and we have a core group here that we can, and people all over San Diego who are getting our messages via TV, radio, internet, whatever, and we're saying, how can we mobilize all those people to reach their communities and have a localized volunteerism base right there in their community and serve that police chief, serve that fire department, minister to those homeless people. This is what we're talking about doing. And this is what we want to do. The next one is online church. I want to show you a cool stat a cool picture that's happening right now. There are people, as you know, watching online right now. We're going to show that picture to you of where they are all around the globe. Hopefully it's going to come up here in a minute. Okay, right now, all those dots represent people who are in places all over the world watching right now. Let's say hi to them. Let's say what's up, y'all. Now, I just want you to keep that up for a while because that fires me up right now. There's people, and they're all over the world watching, and what we want to do is put every service today, five services in a row, we will put this service live online. We want to expand to where we have it 60 times a week, 7 days a week online, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day ministry, not only the church, but Bible studies, and have live interaction 24 hours a day. We also want to have online church where we have church in different languages online with different music. They won't watch this. We'll produce our own music for Hispanic audience, for Arabic audience, etc. And people are watching this all around the world. We're ministering to the whole world. Our goal in 5 years is to have 250,000 people a week watching online, getting the gospel. Amen? And that's what we want to do. So one is multi-site campuses. The next one is 24 online global evangelism strategy. We have people that go out and impact all around the world right now who are reaching, doing missionary work around the world. We want to raise money and support them as well. And the last initiative is less debt, more hope. We have a $35 million debt on this building. We have a second and a first and second mortgage. We want to raise money to pay off the second. It'll save $27 million over 20 years in interest. We do not benefit from paying interest. Okay, we bought this building. We got a loan to get this building. And God has done incredible things because of this building. We can have all y'all here today. We wouldn't be able to do that. We've had all kinds of services for the police department, funerals, military funerals, concerts, conferences, etc. But now it's time to get rid of that debt and take that money and expand it and use it around the world to reach the world, because now we have a foundation upon which to build. My prayer is that you would see that vision and you would get that. Now, what we did last, when we moved into this building, we had a campaign for called the Nehemiah Project, where we had people pledge money over 3 years, and that's exactly what we're going to do again to accomplish those four things. Our goal is to raise $30 million. Now, how this works is that people will pledge money to this campaign over and above what you already give, and it would go to multi-campuses, it would go to technology, it would go to the missionaries, and it would go to paying off the debt. We think $11 million for campuses. We have online church, the debt, and then global evangelism. Now, we don't know how all this is going to shake out, but our prayer for you is that you would say, God, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use me? We can't just have church every week, and that's it. We have to say, Lord, to whom much is given, much is required. You have given us so much here in this room. Five times we'll be here today. You have given us so much people, so much power. So, when I say power, people power, influence, resources. We want to expand it and reach as many people as possible. We can very easily sit and say, hey, we got this big church. Let's just sit back and just cruise. No. We want to go reach. There's too many people going to hell. Amen? I heard someone say, you know, I wish Jesus would come back real quick. I don't want Jesus to come back. Not yet. Not yet. Why? Because if he came back today, there's some people we all know who would die and go to hell. So we say, Lord, we got work to do. We got work to do. Amen? So here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to raise the $30 million. We're going to ask you to make a three-year pledge over and above what tithes. You have tithes, which is 10%, which just pays for operations. By the way, if everybody tithed, we wouldn't be talking about this. If everybody just gave, we did a whole series at the early of the year called The Blessed Life. We talked about tithing. If everybody really just tithed, we would not be having this message at all. We'd have enough money to do everything we could. That's just God's goodness truth. But an offering is over and above. And so on March 26th, we're going to have Pledge Day. We're going to have people say, I'm pledging X amount of dollars towards the $30 million towards Pervasive Hope. Okay, that's March 26th. And then the week after, April 1st, we're going to, April 1st, don't be coming here with a fool, hey, I'm giving $40 million. And just, psych! Because I've been psyched out many times before. So April 1st is going to be First Fruits. Man, that's kind of messed up. We got that on her, right? On April 1st, we're going to actually take the first offering of your pledge. So if you pledge whatever on that day, we want to. And our goal, according to our consultant, is on that day to collect $3 million. So here's all you need to do. It's very simple. Pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? If you're not tithing, do that. I mean, start there. That's a great place to start. When you leave today, you're going to get this brochure, and it's going to explain everything. It's going to flesh out everything I just told you. But I want you to be praying, Lord, how do you want me to be involved in Pervasive Hope? What is my pledge? Now, it's a three, you get paid over 3 years. You can pay it at one time, you can pay it every month, however you want to do it. But my encouragement to you is to ask God what he would have you do. This is all between you and God. Let's go back to the story, Jonah. Everyone say Jonah. It says, the word of the Lord. Everyone say the word of the Lord. It is so critical that everything we do and everything you do is based on God's word to you and God's promise to you. It says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. God is saying, and Jonah knows this, God is saying, Jonah, that city is wicked, both you and I know. But Jonah, I want to love that city. I want to forgive that city. I want to express my mercy to that city. Look at number one in your notes. Jonah was called to be unselfish with God's love. I want you to ask yourself, has there ever been somebody in your life, and don't answer this question, that God was wanting to love, and you didn't want God to love them? And I'll say it a different way. God was blessing you, and you were holding on to all his blessings because you wanted it just to be for you. God said to Jonah, Jonah, I want to love that city. You got to be unselfish with everything you know about me. I want you to be unselfish with it. I want you to love that city like I love that city. I don't know if you saw, there was a movie a long time ago called Brian's song. It was about a football player named Gale Sayers. Gale Sayers, one of the greatest running backs in football history. He only played 5 years, hurt his knee, played for the Chicago Bears. Then he ended up getting cancer, and he died at a very young age. And his roommate was a guy named Brian Piccolo. And Brian Piccolo, at this football banquet they had for the team, he gave a speech about his friend Gale who died. And he said, I loved him. Actually, it was the other way around. Brian Piccolo died, and Gale gave the speech. Says, I loved him, and I want you to love him too. God is saying to Jonah, Jonah, I love that city, and I want you to love them too. My challenge to you is that to pray that God would give you love for your city. Wherever you live around the world, that God, you would ask God to stir your heart. God, give me a love for my community, my neighbors. Give me a love for the guy who owns the bar down the street. Give me a love for the homeless people I drive by. Give me that kind of love. And if you ask God to give you that kind of love, all of a sudden, he will show you what you need to do. He may say, you know what? This neighborhood is now yours. And I say yours. I want you to start praying for it, and I want you to start planning ministry for it. This group of people, I want you to start planning to reach. He's going to change your heart. But what you don't want to live like Jonah, where it's all about me. You got to be unselfish. Say, Lord, how do you want me to love? It's number two in your notes. It says Jonah was called to be generous with God's blessing. In other words, Jonah, you're going to be unselfish, and you're going to be generous. In other words, there's going to be no limit to what I want to do. Do you not have any idea how much God loves you? How many of you would admit God is generous to you? Okay. You don't deserve what you have. Amen. How many fellas are married today? You don't deserve your wife. Amen. Ask your wife, she'll tell you. You don't deserve me. All of this right here. And you know, guys are like, you could tell guys that. And they'll be like, yeah, you know, yeah, you're ugly, man. She's pretty. Yeah, I get that. God says, Jonah, you don't deserve everything. I want you to be generous with them as I have been with you. Hey, Miles, look at all those people you got that I gave the Rock Church. I want you to be generous with them to the city. Y'all don't belong to me at all. That has never been a thought. All this is God's. One day I'm going to be gone. And so how can we be generous? How can we be generous with our time? How can we be generous with our talent? How can we be generous with our treasure? It's not ours. It's all going to go. And so we drive by pain every day. And God is saying, I want you to be generous. Jonah is one guy, and I'm sure Jonah thought, what could one guy do? You might be thinking, what can I do? Whatever God tells you to do, God multiplies fish. He multiplies blessing. He multiplies bread. When Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, they only had a few fish and a few bread. And the disciples are going, how are we going to feed all those people? He said, don't worry about it. Just do what I tell you. And so Jonah, and we'll see in a few weeks, Jonah goes and preaches just a few words to this huge city, and an amazing miracle happens. So as God has been generous to you, and as God has been generous to us, by the way, God has been very good to us. We had 3,000 people the first day. A mega church is 2,500 people. We were born mega. We were a shack baby day one. Now, I don't know how heavy Shaq was when he was born, but I promise you that brother wasn't 6 pounds, 5 ounces. He couldn't have been. It was like, blam. If someone do research, I'll find out by next service. But he had to be a big baby. He had to be. So God says, to whom much is given, much is required. So boom, here you go. Okay, God, what do you want us to do? And by the way, that has been our cry since day one. We want to do whatever you want us to do, and hopefully we've done a halfway decent job of doing that. Now it's to the next level. Is all this stuff going to be a lot of work? Yeah, work is good. Work is good. You know what happens when you retire? You just take another job. God's not called. I mean, Adam in the Garden of Eden before there was sin had work to do. Take care of the garden. There's always work. Number three, Jonah was called to be a conduit. You might say all those 3 points are kind of the same. They are, because I'm only trying to say one thing. Jonah, my mercy and my blessing is going to come from heaven, and it's going to flow right through you. You should never, ever pray for someone. Excuse me. You should never pray for someone and never pray for a solution that God wants to bring unless you are willing to be used in the process. Woo! Oh, dear God, oh, bless that homeless person, but don't use me. Oh, dear God, bless those people, but don't use me. I mean, you get the point. Oh, dear God, my cousin, she's a mess. And, I can't stand it. Yeah, she's Jesus. She just gossip. So please shut her mouth. But don't use me. Because I'm in my little bubble doing my own thing, got my own issues that I'm not going to admit. And then the God says, no. I got a perfect plan. I can get 2-for-1. You already know who the 2-for-1 is. I'm going to bless them and humble you at the same time. I'm going to bless them and teach you submission at the same time. As we go through these next 6 weeks, my prayer is that you would just pray that God would reveal to you what he wants to do in your life. And how God wants to use you as a conduit for his blessing to whatever city you live in. All around the world, all y'all live in different cities. We would love to bless 100 cities. We have 18 right here in San Diego, but there's a whole lot of more cities represented by who's watching online and who's watching on television. And we want us to be a conduit of a generous blessing, and the most generous blessing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as the worship team comes out, I want to praise God, and here's what I want to praise God about. I want to praise God based on what he is going to do. We saw last week that praise and worship was a weapon. And I want to sing a song right here in a minute, and we're going to worship for God for what he is going to do. Not only would we raise and reach our financial goal, but more than that, because really it's not about the money, it's the ministry that the money empowers us to do, that God would provide us with all the resources and people and buildings, etc., to do the ministry that he has called us to do, and that we would not be like Jonah and say, God, you can go bless that city on your own time, you can bless that city with your people, but I don't want to be part of it. That we would say, Lord, I want to be part of it. Amen? Amen? Now, and I hope that especially if you're from this church, being part of something like this, as far as reaching out to the city, is something we talk about every week. But if you're new, I want to challenge you to be praying that God would give you love for your city, that God would give you a fresh vision for your role in loving your city, your community, and let God decide what happens after that. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, then we're going to sing a song. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to bless our city. We thank you so much that you love us. And Lord, we thank you that you, to whom much is given, much is required, and you have given us much. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir our hearts. I pray that you would give us a burden for our communities, our neighbors, and that you would guide and direct us on how to be involved in our Pervasive Hope campaign. Jesus, we can't do this without you. It's all because of you. And so we say thank you, and we worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and then I'll dismiss you at the end of the song.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes.